It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It was a day and night Steel City supporters of GOP presidential frontrunner Donald Trump had waited for and one his detractors had dreaded. The Donald spoke at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center, and from the physical confrontations between Trump supporters and opponents to Trump's pledge to revitalize the coal and steel industries, it was an event that highlighted the renewed relevance of the Pennsylvania primary, now 12 days away. I'm joined in studio by 90.5 WESA reporter Noah Brode and multimedia editor Megan Harris to talk about what Trump had to say and the reaction to his message. Noah and Megan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks for having us.
Megan, let's begin with you. There were some arrests and injuries at the convention center last night. The Department of Public Safety put out an update this morning. What was included in that report?
Yeah, from what we're hearing, police arrested three individuals last night. That was two men, one woman, and four police officers were also injured. They were treated on scene and taken care of. There were no, you know, major injuries or anything, but that was new information, brand new this morning.
And what can you tell us about the nature of the confrontations and the efforts of police to head off trouble?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed to be mostly, you know, a lot of standing in, a lot of calm faces. The body language seemed to speak more than anything else. You know, they would just kind of quietly shuffle between a protester and a supporter as language escalated. Like I said, mostly a lot of calm faces, quiet language, you know, maybe calm down a little bit. There weren't a lot of hands raised.
And it wasn't exactly Dan Rather at the 1964 convention. But you did get knocked to the ground during one particular skirmish. And I say this because it's important for people to know that the reporters are also people who end up being put in harm's way at times. And last night was one of those times.
Yeah, I mean, part of the skirmishes are just trying to be, you know, as close to the action without being a part of the action. You know, I had a camera right pointed at someone who, you know, became a bit of a problem. So, you know, when you put yourself in that position, you kind of also put yourself in the way sometimes. The police did absolutely nothing wrong. They were doing their job, and I was just a little bit of a... Sorry, Noah's got his hand up.
Yeah. Well, Noah, you got something happened with you.
Yeah, I just wanted to second that. We were both in the same crowd whenever some shoving broke out. It was probably the worst that I saw the entire course of the night. And, you know, yeah, you get bumped around a little bit, but, you know, you have to realize this as a reporter, you know, you're there at the scene trying to get the story, trying to get close to the story, and so you're kind of putting yourself in harm's way at that point. I have to say the police did an excellent job of, you know, keeping it all relatively calm.
And that was the 68 convention with Dan Rather, by the way, which really is the benchmark of all, you know, skirmishes between reporters and the authorities. So fortunately, it didn't go that far. Trump supporters, very passionate, like their candidate. Megan, what can you tell us about why they feel so strongly about Donald Trump? You know, what are some of the comments you heard last night?
Yeah, those we spoke to said they agree with, you know, many of his campaign promises. They like the idea of having a wall and less government intervention. Many, honestly, were just thrilled that he's not a Democrat.
Okay. Let's listen to some of the sound of Trump supporters last night, what they had to say as our Megan Harris was interviewing them.
Right now he has the conservative support through the populace, the large popular support, and that with his conservative message is something to vote for. It's about saving the country, because I think our country is on the precipice right now.
I like Trump. I just started in the political party thing, and I like his policies on illegal immigrants.
He's my man right now because he wants to shut the borders down. He doesn't owe anybody anything in Washington, D.C., and I think his values are more like in line with mine.
So those are the people who support Donald Trump, but there are people who are quite vocal and very demonstrative, as they were yesterday, who are opposed to Trump. And what were you able to glean, Megan, about why some folks are just so upset with what Donald Trump is saying?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of passion on both sides, a lot of shouts, a lot of pointed fingers. Most of it, from what we saw anecdotally, was largely non-physical, a rare shove here or there. But, you know, the folks that aren't in support of Trump, they don't like his proposals. They don't want that wall that he likes to talk about. Many support much more open and inclusive policies in regard to a lot of issues, women's rights, immigration, the First Amendment, a lot of LGBTQIA protections, welcoming refugees into metropolitan areas, including Pittsburgh. And a lot of them also just don't like his attitude.
Let's listen to some of the anti-Trump people.
Well, I really don't like Trump's views. I really don't like him as a person. And I thought that if you don't work as a group of people and come out and protest, then what's the point of having rights and exercising them?
I am protesting because Mr. Trump has only given a message of hate and fear and violence and discrimination. And I don't believe that's a person that should lead this country or any country.
Did Donald Trump acknowledge any of the people that were protesting yesterday? I know he has in the past. Did it happen in Pittsburgh last night?
Well, I have to say I only saw him at the rally in person, and he certainly pointed out a protester. There was just one incident where what he called an agitator interrupted his speech by heckling, and he kind of ridiculed the protester a bit, as he's wont to do. So he said he had a very weak voice and said he was going home to mommy. So and that brought laughs from the crowd and everything. So it was an interesting moment there in the Trump rally.
So Noah, clearly Donald Trump knows how to play to a crowd. How else was he doing that last night?
Well, there were lots of, applause lines, of course, and boo lines, interestingly, and chant lines, I would say, as well, where, you know, Trump would mention, you know, we're going to build a wall, huge cheers. And then he'd say, you know, who's going to pay for it? Chants of Mexico. So that was one of the chant lines. Also, anytime he mentioned Ted Cruz, chants of lying Ted came up. And, just lots of crowd involvement in the rally.
And we have an example of some of the applause lines that he goes to. Go ahead and set up what we're going to hear next, which is he was talking about one of the usual suspects, the dishonest people.
Yes. Mr. Trump was referring to those who negotiate trade deals on behalf of the United States, international trade deals like NAFTA. And this in particular, he was referring to the negotiators for the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
We will be taken advantage of. You know why? Because the United States is represented by incompetent people and or dishonest people.
And we know that Donald Trump does not trust the press particularly well. And I guess there were some an interesting setup in terms of where he's kind of holding the press at bay. A little bit.
Yeah, the press were 85 plus feet away from the actual stage itself. And I think this would be a good time to mention there was an awkward moment for me where the entire press box, the entire press pen area was booed by the crowd as Trump said that members of the media are terrible human beings. And I think he referred to them as very dishonest people, worse than politicians. So it was an interesting moment. I had never been booed like that before by a crowd of hundreds, if not more than 1,000 people in there. So, it was an interesting moment where Donald Trump kind of took on the media in his own rally as the media were there in coverage.
And again, though, there were the other applause lines that resonate so well with his supporters. Let's listen to another of those.
We're sitting on a bubble. We've got to straighten out our country. We've got to rebuild our military. Our military is being decimated. It's being decimated. We got to knock the hell out of ISIS. We got to knock them out.
So there were those lines that we've heard in a lot of Trump stops, but there were also specific Pittsburgh references. What can you tell us about those?
That's right. Yes. What he started with whenever he really got into the speech proper was bringing back steel and coal jobs, which, you know, he made a point to say that multiple times throughout his speech. You know, he says he wants to revive the coal industry and the steel industry. He didn't really say how he was going to accomplish that, but he did mention that he wanted to negotiate better during these negotiations for trade deals with other countries. So perhaps that was kind of his tie-in with bringing back coal and steel. Some other Pittsburgh references he brought up during the first few minutes. You know, he he talked about Joe Paterno. It was kind of an awkward non sequitur, as I don't think he got the response that he was expecting regarding the whole Penn State scandal a few years back. So that was an interesting moment.
Yes, he was apparently. What everybody seemed to gather from his comments about Joe Paterno, he said, we're going to bring back Joe Paterno. And
right.
The question was, well, are you talking about the statue or the man? And sadly, Joe Paterno passed away several years ago. So if Donald Trump can do that, he might really get some votes. That would be something along the order of a miracle.
Right.
But let's do the sound of him, Donald Trump, talking about where he was getting his Pittsburgh facts.
So I know Pittsburgh, and I will tell you this. I asked when I came over, I said, give me some stats on how Pittsburgh's doing.
And so he had people looking for things that he thought would apparently resonate with the people of Pittsburgh. Was that happening? Were people responding to, you know, there was a reference to Big Ben, and there's a reference to bringing back the coal and steel industry. You know, what were we hearing, Megan, from the crowd there on that?
Yeah, I mean, he brought up a lot of traditional Pittsburgh buzzwords. You know, it was the kind of thing that, you know, Pittsburgh leaders in recent years have made a big point to, you know, not necessarily phase out, but certainly highlight newer and brighter aspects of Pittsburgh's future, clean energy, higher education, medical research. None of these things appear on traditional histories of Pittsburgh. So wherever he may have come up with these, they may not be with the most nuance, or at least not with an eye towards the future that current Pittsburgh leaders are really trying to promote.
So is there any word of whether Donald Trump might return to the area between now and April 26th? And how about word of whether either of the other two Republican presidential candidates, Ted Cruz and John Kasich, are coming to town?
Well, we haven't had a clear indication of any of those three, Trump, Kasich, or Cruz. The PA primary is very relevant this year, and that's sort of an unusual circumstance. So it's definitely possible that we'll get some visits. You know, we had rumors that Ted Cruz was going to be in town yesterday, but those were debunked. He did not appear. And John Kasich, born in McKees Rocks and raised there, too. And this is, you know, maybe considered, you know, close to home turf for him. So I wouldn't be surprised personally if he came for a visit as well.
90.5 WESA reporter Noah Brode. Also 90.5 WESA multimedia editor Megan Harris talking about the Donald Trump events held in Pittsburgh yesterday. Great thanks to you both.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Coming up, a Pitt conference looks at the impact of prolonged solitary confinement. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.